upholding scientific research and discovery in respect, as we should, we must also be alert to the equal and opposite danger that public policy could itself become the captive of a scientific, technological elite.
We've signed a climate convention on the importance of economic instruments and free markets. We're included in this mammoth Agenda 21 document and the Rio Declaration. Well, let me be clear on one fundamental point. The United States fully intends to be the world's preeminent leader in protecting the global environment.
Coming up, Technocracy News. And greetings from Technocracy News. This is Patrick Wood, editor-in-chief and founder of Technocracy News and Trends. Today is June 10, 2019. Welcome to the broadcast. We're going to take a look at three different things today. Number one, we're going to take a look at the new smart city in Toronto called Quayside. And then we're going to look at streetlights and how streetlights and 5G are going to be playing into the total surveillance society. And lastly, we'll talk about the enduring popularity of George Orwell's classic book, 1984. I want to start out by encouraging you to share these articles and this broadcast with anybody and everybody you know. Time is running short, my friends, because 5G is almost upon us and the Internet of Things will be lit up like a Christmas tree, and the massive data harvesting project will commence, and life may never be the same again. Exactly. But now is the time to throw a monkey wrench into it if there's going to be one. So it's up to you. And the more people that know about it, the better. If they don't know about it, how can they protest or resist? But in any case, you'll notice as you go to Technocracy News and Trends, the website, technocracy.news, that every article now has a special set of sharing buttons at the top of every article, right below the main picture and right above the text of the article. And it says, share the story. And there are several different types of social networks, Facebook, Twitter, LinkedIn, MeWe, and some others. And if you click the little share icon at the right, you'll find that there's over 100 different platforms that you can share to. And I can almost guarantee that whatever you belong to, you'll find that icon in that list of 100 plus, and you simply click on it, and it will automatically share that story to that network. You can also share articles by an email icon. And if you click on the email icon, it will open up your default email program with a link to that story already embedded in the email. You simply type in the address, click send. This is a very convenient way to share articles, for sure. And the more articles you share, the more people that will know. So please do take advantage of that. Spread the word around. Let people know. Let them read for themselves what these people are saying and doing. Now, we'll put our attention first to the city of Quayside up in Toronto, Canada. This story has been maturing along for some time. We've talked about it in these pages probably three or four times in the last year. But Quayside is a project of a Google sister company that's owned and operated by Alphabet. That's Google's parent. So it's not Google directly, but it's a company that's on a parallel organization chart with Google, run by the same people. In this case, the story says a smart city project in Canada has hit yet another snag, as mounting delays and privacy concerns threaten the controversial development along the Toronto's eastern waterfront. The 12-acre Quayside project, a partnership between Google Sidewalk Labs and the City of Toronto, has come under increasing scrutiny amid concerns over privacy and data harvesting. Note the phrase, data harvesting. Now, it's important to note that this partnership that it speaks about is a public-private partnership. This is where a public company approaches a public entity and they make a deal to do something. In this case, it's to build a smart city. So Toronto provided the 12 acres of land on the waterfront and said, have at it. We'll give you tax breaks. We'll give you special benefits that only a city can do. And why, you go out there and you just build your little hearts out and you make your perfect utopian city. Well, The fact that this met resistance is a good thing. Says this week, U.S. venture capitalist Roger McNamee warned that technology companies such as Google cannot be trusted to safely manage the data they collect on residents. The Smart City project on the Toronto waterfront is the most highly evolved version to date of surveillance capitalism, he wrote to the city council, suggesting Google will, quote, use algorithms to nudge human behavior and ways to favor its business. McNamee, an early investor in Facebook and Google, is co-founder of Silver Lake Partners, one of the world's largest technology investors. But in recent years, he has soured on many of the technology giants and their handling of data and privacy concerns. No matter what Google is offering, the value to Toronto cannot possibly approach the value your city is giving up, he wrote, pleading with officials to abandon the project. It is a dystopian vision that has no place in a democratic society. Well, there you kind of have the bottom line here. This person making the protest is no slouch as far as technology is concerned. He's an innovator. He's one of the largest investors in the big tech community. And he's saying, put on the brakes. You people over there in Toronto, you're crazy. You need to stop this because this data harvesting operation presents a dystopian vision for your city. It has no place in a democratic society. The letter follows news that the project's advisory panel, Waterfront Toronto, plans to delay a planned vote on the Quayside development to ensure it can undertake an accountable, transparent, and extensive evaluation of Sidewalk Lab's plans, which are expected to be submitted in the coming weeks. We have adjusted our expected timelines accordingly to ensure that the evaluation process has the time required to meet the expectations of Waterfront Toronto and the public as a whole, spokesman Andrew Tumulty said in a statement. McNamee's criticism are the latest in a growing chorus of opposition to the project by high-profile technology investors and executives. Last year, Jim Balsill, the co-founder of BlackBerry maker Research in Motion, called the project, quote, a colonizing experiment in surveillance capitalism attempting to bulldoze important urban, civic, and political issues. In 2017, Sidewalk Labs won a proposal to develop a 12-acre section of Toronto's eastern waterfront. The proposal also left the possibility of developing as many as 800 acres of the city's Portlands area in the coming years. Originally seen as a tool for addressing affordability and transportation issues in the city, Quayside was meant to be one of the world's first smart cities, drawing on environmentally conscious design and emerging technologies to, quote, accelerate urban innovation and serve as a beacon for cities around the world. Sidewalk Labs intends to build 2,500 housing units, nearly half of them under market value. Despite initial public support for the project, Quayside has been dogged by fears of data harvesting, privacy concerns, and overall lack of transparency. Now here we have a key story that every American should read. This is a synopsis of Smart City Makeover that's coming to America right now, right under our nose. It's happening here as well as up there. But the thing about Quayside is that they started from scratch. This is a very unique opportunity that Sidewalk Labs have to start something from scratch and build in all of the smart city technology that they want to put on cities today down here in the U.S. of A. The further along that Quayside gets, the more resistance is coming in from very high-profile tech people to say this is not right. This also demonstrates to us that not all of big tech have this megalomaniac desire to control everything in the environment and everything in the universe. It's not everyone. The co-founder of BlackBerry, for instance, is highly critical of this whole operation up in Toronto. And of course, BlackBerry is headquartered in Canada. So this is not just individual citizens protesting this. This is people that know what's going on. They're involved in the technology community and they know exactly what's going on. They are throwing the monkey wrench in. I'll tell you, my friends, Americans should sit up and pay attention to this, because if these insiders are saying that this is a threat to democracy, then we should pay attention right now. Second story, what's hidden in your new smart city streetlights? Well, this is not a shocking story because we've covered this before as well. But smart city technology is moving on, and streetlights are going to play a very key role. So I wrote at the head of this story, the vast majority of Americans have no idea of big tech's massive drive to make digital slaves out of everyone that is an urban dweller. Smart streetlights will often be at the heart of data collection and coordination. The article starts out, such a benign and banal part of the urban landscape that city dwellers may not even notice them. Streetlights are useful for brightening up a road and not much else. Or so you might think. People these days are used to the idea of CCTV cameras, even hidden ones, but streetlights tend to blend into the background. Perhaps this is why they are finding new functions in the modern world with a zealotry for surveillance. These seemingly innocuous devices can host anything from microphones and cameras to facial recognition and de facto compulsory 5G Wi-Fi transmission. LED lampposts are being installed in cities and public places around the world, only partly because they're economical, energy-saving properties. With the new installations come a wide variety of sensors designed to capture data on public activity. As Chuck Compagna, CEO of lighting company Amerilux, told New York Times, we're opening up an entirely new area in lighting applications and services, including video-based security and public safety, parking management, predictive maintenance, and more. We see outdoor lighting as the perfect infrastructure to build a brand new network, added Hugh Martin, chief executive of the company Sensity, which installed smart lighting at Newark Airport. We felt what you'd want to use the network for is to gather information about people and the planet. Well, could that be any more clear? He just says it right up. We felt what you'd want to use this network for is to gather information about people and the planet. Well, the article goes on, lighting in the smart city, urban surveillance, urban solution, or tool of tyranny. It's a very good article, well-researched and well-written. I highly suggest that you read this article. And I put a video in here as well called WISX IoT, that's Internet of Things Suite. This is a company that's building and providing a suite of products for monitoring and collecting data in a smart city environment. The last story has to do with the enduring interest in George Orwell's classic book, 1984, which presented a dystopian view of society, total control over citizenry. And this book now is 70 years old this year. This is a milestone, 70 years later, after the fact. The book is selling more copies today than it has in its previous 70 years of life. Words and phrases from Orwell's 1984 abound in American culture, although many are worried after having read the prophetic dystopian novel. Few are alarmed, at least alarmed enough to do anything to stop it in modern society. 70 years after its publication, George Orwell's classic dystopian novel, 1984, continues to fascinate readers, in particular youngsters, growing up in a social media-dominated age of increasing angst. Some students are very shocked by it and remain shocked by it, said Michael Callanan, an English teacher and director of the Orwell Youth Prize, which supports political expression among young people. It is a paradox of a book being 70 years old, he added. I think they were taken aback by how fresh and how true to our lives today it strangely is. Written in 1948, and published the following year, 1984 depicted a chilling future world in which a totalitarian state controls people's thoughts and actions, suppressing any dissent. This rigidly controlled society features a so-called, quote, ministry of truth that distorts reality with ever-watchful eyes of Big Brother keeping tabs on citizens' behavior. The novel introduced other terms that have endured in the lexicon, including doublethink, which means the power of holding two contradictory beliefs in one's mind simultaneously and accepting both of them, according to Orwell. For Gene Seaton, director of the Orwell Foundation, which promotes the work of the writer, who died in 1950, age 46, and administers various awards, his masterpiece was very prescient. She noted the book's description of 2 minutes hate, in which citizens watch a daily film inciting them to hate the enemies of the state. Is comparable to online hate mobs today. Over the 7 decades since its publication, 1984 has remained omnipresent on the social landscape, and even periodic spikes in sales. Well, indeed, 1984 is a book that would be good to read again. If you haven't read it in a few years, you should pick up a used copy for $2 or $3 or $4 from a used bookstore, at least, or go to your local library and read it there. It's not a long book, for sure. It can easily be read in an afternoon. And read it and see what Orwell was saying. The only thing different between Orwell's 1984 and Aldous Huxley's Brave New World is that 1984 promotes obedience through pain, whereas in Huxley's Brave New World, obedience is achieved through pleasure by taking the drug Soma. Otherwise, they're functionally equivalent. The end of it is people are enslaved completely and forced into compliance, either by pain or by pleasure. It works both ways. And today we see both of those in place too. We see people voluntarily walking into these things with new smart technology, whether it be iPhones or Android phones or tablets or computers. People are willingly walking into these technologies, hoping to find nirvana. Well, they're going to be sadly disappointed, I'm afraid, in the end, as we see. Smart city technology promises to be the system that will control us. It's coming quickly. Experts in the field, top experts in the field, are warning. Put the brakes on, like a quasi. Don't let it happen to you here in America, friends. It's time to stop it. It's time to go to your city council or to your county supervisors and tell them this is dangerous technology that will harm our community and harm our citizens, and it will cause harm that cannot be repaired. So the time to stop it is before it starts. We don't have too much time left before it's fully in place. As I said several times in this broadcast, as well as in writing, 5G technology will light up the Internet of Things all around the world. But because we live in America, this is most important to us, of course, and it's coming at us like a steamroller. Well, another good thing you can do to share, you can share copies of my book, Technocracy, The Hard Road to World Order, or my first book, Technocracy Rising, The Trojan Horse of Global Transformation. You can also share the page on the website, technocracy.news, the link on the right side of the homepage called First Time Quick Start Guide is a perfect page to share with somebody who's never been exposed to technocracy before and they want to get up to speed quickly. You can simply shoot them a link to that particular page and tell them to get to work. What more can I say? We have all the information at your disposal here. There's really nothing lacking in understanding that can be expressed. Top experts, as well as medical experts, as well as engineering experts from around the world, have thrown up the red flag, the Mayday flag. People as well, citizens around the world, have also thrown up the red Mayday flag. If you can't believe all these people that has put so much time into studying this thing, then who can you believe? Well, you won't believe anybody's bottom line. If you don't believe these people and pay attention to them, don't complain when you get what you don't want. Well, I'm Patrick Wood for Technocracy News and Trends. Have a great day. We'll be right back.